When Barack Obama won the presidency in November, many pundits started talking about where the Obama girls should go to school in Washington, D.C. We spoke with Mother Jones reporter Stephanie Mensimer, who urged the president-elect to send his girls to a public school. But that didn't happen. The Obamas decided to send their daughters to the private, prestigious Sidwell Friends School. Our next guest, Damali Ayo, is a D.C. native and a Sidwell alum. Last week, she started a Facebook group called Sasha and Malia, We Got Your Back, Black Alums of Sidwell Friends School. Thanks for joining us, Damali.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why'd you start your group?
Well, I just felt like there wasn't a lot of conversation about what it meant to be two young black girls at Sidwell Friends. And I thought we could have that.
Describe what Sidwell Friends is from the perspective of Washington, because it's got a very specific place in the Washington world. So what is that?
Well, it does. I'd say it's probably the most liberal independent school in the D.C. area. It was no surprise to me at all that that's where they chose to send their kids, because it's the place that's going to probably give them the broadest perspective on American culture, right, and education. And as far as the D.C. public schools go, it's very hard to send your children there. I ended up at Sidwell because my older sisters were in D.C. public schools, and when my mom, you know, had me, she just saw this really like smart kid and realized she couldn't put me in that system. And when she put me in Sidwell, ultimately that also brought my two sisters into the independent school system as well.
So what was a moment that crystallized for you what it was going to be like? You were all the way through, right?
I started there in kindergarten and I went through all the way.
So what comes to
mind? They call us lifers.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's a long time to spend with in one context. What was a moment that crystallized for you what Sidwell Friends was, for good or for bad or both?
I think the moment that really crystallized it for me was when I was in second grade and the school decided to IQ test all of us. And me and Tom Shacko, this white boy, came out of the two top scores. And that was no surprise to them Tom's score was no surprise to them. But for me, the school kind of freaked out and they decided they had to retest me because they just couldn't believe my score was so high. And my mother had to fight that battle and refused to have that happen. And for me, what happened was then my teacher started to kind of pit me against Tom and all of my exercises. And, you know, can you do this math problem? Tom can. And my life became this kind of black girl against white guy competition.
That sounds highly unpleasant.
Yeah, it sucked. And what was really interesting is that, you know, Tom didn't realize this was happening until he was like 20-something, and I told him at one of our reunions.
So you were living in a parallel universe in some ways in terms of how you were able to perceive some of the failings or some of the issues at hand.
Yeah, you know, a black student in a predominantly white school has a very unique perspective, although it shouldn't be unique. It should be something everyone could just see. You know, another great example is that when I started the school, I integrated our doll collection. You know, there were no black dolls there for me to play with as a kindergartner. So my white aunt actually bought me a black Raggedy Ann and Andy to take to my school so I, you know, could play with dolls that represented me.
So when you think about those experiences, you also, I'm sure, got a great education there.
Absolutely. And for me, my family was difficult. So Sidwell was a wonderful refuge for me. So I was loved by some of the best teachers in the world. Absolutely. So it's definitely a 50-50, you know, kind of experience.
So how do you think the school has probably changed since the time that you went there? I'm sure that because you're a lifer that you've stayed in touch on some level with the life of the school.
Yeah, what was very interesting to me is that I went back for, I think, my 10th reunion. I don't remember. It was one of those reunions. And one of the students was reporting an incident where a black student was openly called a monkey by another white student in their community, and how the school, you know, they really didn't handle it well at all. And I thought, you know, that happened when I was in school, when I was in seventh grade, this happened. And how did my school not figure out how to learn from their experience so this never happened again? So although I would like to say that a lot of things have changed at Sidwell or in, you know, private schools or in schools in general for black kids, I think that there's still a lot of repeat mistakes.
Now, when you think about these two little girls or two young girls showing up to school with the Secret Service, et cetera, do you think it will be more remarkable to people that they have this place in the political world than the fact that they're Black?
I think there's a great overlap. Man, I wish I had some Secret Service sometimes in that school. I think that's hot. You know, good for them.
Yeah, you have built-in show and tell. I say they should rock the service.
Yeah, they should rock the security element. I say that's the first tip I would give them. I think that what they will have is this really interesting confluence between being a living example of how racism is now over because your father is king of the world and being an example of Blackness. I think it will be very challenging for people to try to teach Black history or talk about American culture without kind of being nervous that these emblems of, you know, some kind of progress are sitting in the classroom. So I think there's going to be a really interesting balance for these two girls about how their father is talked about, because everybody's talking about him as the manifestation of Martin Luther King's dream, which is very entertaining to me. And not how do they then validate that just putting all that on them is a part of the racist system in the first place, right?
Do you think that ultimately a school like this, where you got a great education, but you also took your racial knocks, do you think that it's a win for these girls?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the best we can do right now. And I'm really excited because I think some of my teachers are still there. And so I know they will be in some wonderful hands. And it's a great education. It's something I would never trade. I wouldn't trade Sidwell for any other school, for any other independent school, for public school. There's no other place I would rather have grown up, particularly because it is a Quaker education. And just being able to sit, for example, in high school in Quaker meeting once a week with 400 people in silence is absolutely one of the most powerful experiences anyone can have. So I think it's a wonderful place.
Damali, thanks so much for sharing your story.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Damali Ayo, the author of How to Rent a Negro and founder of the Facebook group Sasha and Malia, We Got Your Back, Black alums of Sidwell Friends School. She joined us from the studios of Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland.